One safety back deep. Here's the pitch to Swift. Tosses it back to Caleb Williams. Looking deep down the left side. Going for Luther. Burning over the shoulder. 20, 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears!
Thank you to the Bears radio for that. The Luther Burden 65-yard touchdown reception on the flea flicker. And the Bears beat the Cowboys yesterday, Pearl. And not only that, the Bears looked like the perfect franchise yesterday, like model franchise. And that's what playing against the Dallas Cowboys defense will get you. It was like a well-oiled machine. It looked like at times on offense, the creativity that Ben Johnson was known for, you got to see a little bit of that. Rookies on display. Caleb yucking it up with teammates on the sideline. It was like every single question. Defense played well. Every single question that you could have had about the Bears, and we had all of them, seemed to be at least addressed. I don't know if it was fully answered yesterday, but it, like, for the long term. But it was almost like they checked every box. It's like team looks like they're playing together. Offense looks creative. Defense could get after it. It was like a perfect day for the Bears.
Oh, I don't think the defense looked good, though. I mean, they couldn't tackle Javonte Williams. Can you imagine if that was a close game? I mean, what was it? It was 14-14, and the Cowboys had just done whatever they wanted offensively. So that, I think the main flaw in this team is defense.
Well, I think they caught a break with CeeDee Lamb going out so early with the ankle injury.
They let up 400 yards, and they were really suspect against the run. They averaged 6.1 yards on the run, the Cowboys. And Dak, I'm really worried, honestly, and I think the biggest flaw is their defense. So I don't, because of that, I'm not going to think that this is a launching pad for Caleb Williams' dominance, because there's going to be a lot of close games coming up.
I mean, they shut out the Cowboys in the second half. Like,
but that was also a function of the game, right? I mean, also the Cowboys still move the ball a lot.
That is
true. They got 400 total yards.
Dak threw a bad pick in the end zone.
I mean, was that on him, though?
I have no idea. I don't know. Yeah. Dak had to throw the ball 40 times, 31 for 40, 251 yards, one touchdown, two picks. And then Joe Milton came in the game. Mm-hmm. And Milton actually had a nice connection with a tight end down the sideline, but it got called back because man downfield, like some ticky-tack. Anyway, the question is, was this the turning point?
So I don't think so. I think he's going to have two steps forward, one step back all season long. Mm. I think he's still learning the offense. I think I would be surprised if he had like took this game and just was Patrick Mahomes from here on out. And I think that's totally fine. That's what I expect. Ed Raiders next week.
Yep.
Max Crosby's probably going to get after him a little bit. We'll not have as much time. Then Ed Commanders, who've been a good defense. So there are W's on here. But I think I've said this all along, and you and I have argued about it. All that matters is that we see progression from Caleb Williams. This was great. I don't think we need to see 400 yards a game from him to be convinced that he is the future. But I think it's all the tape people, like all the former quarterbacks who watch him, be like, yeah, little things are going well here. They had said that coming into this game. He's learning, he's developing, and that's key. So that's why I'm totally stoked. If I'm a Bears fan, even if he doesn't do this next week, I think if he could just good against the Raiders, that's great. He doesn't, obviously, last night what we saw, a bit of an aberration. Would you agree? Or?
You know, I'm looking at that next game against Las Vegas, and I think that's a very, very winnable game. The Raiders looked terrible yesterday, playing against a backup quarterback in Washington, Marcus Mariota.
No joke, by the way.
And the Raiders couldn't get anything going. And so, I don't know what's going on with the Raiders. We'll talk about that and Ash and Jenty, and where should Tom Brady actually be in the booth? Or I think the Raiders either need him all in the, you know, player personnel side, or maybe all the way out if he's not going to be a positive to them as far as his evaluations. But I kind of like this as a little bit of a jumping off point for Caleb. I do. You know, because it's not like they were doing something that we weren't expecting. It went so badly in the final quarter of the game against Minnesota that they lost. And then it couldn't have been worse against Detroit when they get blown out 52-21. It looks like the team quit. But the way they beat Dallas, it's almost like that's what we were looking for. We were looking for Caleb pushing the ball downfield to Rome Odunze. We were looking for, you know, hey, now we kind of get why Colston Loveland was maybe taking over Ty Warren, even though that will probably go down as a terrible decision. Luther Burden, like, you're watching Caleb do the things he does well. And so for that, I'm like, maybe this is sustainable, because it's not like they won the game in a way that's so outside of what we were hoping to see from the Bears offense. That's what we wanted to see with the marriage of Caleb and Ben Johnson.
Did the Cowboys game look that different than the Lions game for Caleb, though? I mean, his numbers are almost the same. If you took the flea flicker out, he had very similar. There are some
four touchdowns.
Yeah, he had four touchdowns, but he had two against the Lions, and then they gave up in the second half. I just think the little passes, the short passes, that's my concern for Caleb. Brady was pretty good, by the way, breaking down Caleb. And that's like, that is the difference as he matures and gets better, gets a little Kirk Cousins in him down the road. I think that's where you're going to see slow, steady improvement is the easy ones. We know he can chuck it all the way down the field. So I'm very curious. You know, I'd like to see him just sort of dominate against the Raiders and play a totally controlled game and make no mistakes. But I don't think that's realistic. I think he's right now good, not great. So I expect him to come down to earth a little bit in the next 2 weeks.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. And if Dallas doesn't watch themselves here, they're going to be considered the get-right game.
Yeah, they're offenses the Sam that Houston are struggling. State.
Yeah, minus the stare-down. But from Arch Manning, I think that they got to be careful because the back end of that defense, and they have no pass rush, but we said that before. And, imagine that.
Well, we knew coming into the season that, I mean, Trayvon Diggs was coming off a major injury, right?
Yeah, and he got knocked out of the game yesterday.
So we knew Trayvon Diggs wasn't really going to be 100% for the season. I just think everyone was so worried about Micah Parsons, we forgot about the defensive backfield. You're exactly right. Like, there are a lot of problems. Man, if there was a moment last year when you had DeMarvion Overshawn and Micah Parsons just running crazy, and that dream just died in Dallas. I had to see there's no way out for this defense.
It's bleak. And you're looking next week, Green Bay, who had some very big offensive struggles yesterday in a narrow loss to the Cleveland Browns. And that was just one of the games that featured a blocked field goal that ended up turning the tide of the game within the last 2 minutes. Now, this one didn't get returned for a touchdown, Pearl, like it did with your Philadelphia Eagles and like it did with the New York Jets. But it was crazy nonetheless. The Packers, Bears, we will do the autopsy on that in just a moment. But if the Packers offense is looking to get back on track, having the Dallas Cowboys next week is the perfect way to do it.
Yeah, what's the difference between the Browns and the Cowboys?
Well, the Browns defense might be amazing.
The Browns kept Myles Garrett. The Cowboys traded Micah Parsons.
There you go.
Yeah, the Browns defense, except for a little bit against the Ravens, has been really, really good. And I just think Jordan Love ran into Myles Garrett. I mean, that guy is... actually, everybody on Cleveland's defense looked amazing. So I think this is going to be a lot easier.
Well, yeah, we'll get to the Packers because I know people are not happy with Jordan Love. They are not happy with Matt LaFleur. But first, George is in L.A. George, I can only imagine the highs and lows you were experiencing yesterday as a Rams fan.
Yeah, Maggie Perloff would be very happy because that game, she thought it won the game, to be honest with you. But I've been watching the Rams for 55 years since I was a 10-year-old child. I've never seen them lose a game on two spot field goals to win the game. I mean, think about this. Same dude, you can't block, back up a yard, you can kick it. I mean, that was ridiculous. I mean, I'm sorry, but and Stafford missed Davante Adams a couple of times on touchdowns. I knew when I was watching this game, they weren't getting enough points and Philadelphia was going to make a run. And that's exactly what happened.
That one in the end zone that the Eagles defender got a fingernail on that sort of disrupted Davante, or got his hand in between, that looked like the game to me. I thought that was going to be it.
You know, George, and I got to be honest with you, like, it was a sobering moment. We don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs. And George, thanks as always for chiming in. We don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs. But how do you not look at the Philadelphia Eagles after yesterday, Pearl, and through 3 weeks and not think they are clearly the Super Bowl favorite?
The ability
to come back in the way that they did. Now, they were at home, but that Rams team was on fire. Yeah. And the Eagles found a way to win the game.
Yeah, I don't actually walk away so optimistic from that game. Because remember, after their close Super Bowl loss in 2022, they came out 10-1. And they were winning with a lot of magic tricks. Feels kind of the same way right now. Like, there's definitely major problems all over this team. So they don't feel nearly as strong as last year. But they started off slow last year, too. So maybe they'll pick it up. But they definitely look flawed on both sides of the ball.
Really? I think you
yeah,
got
their offense
I think
is inconsistent.
I know, but are you missing the forest through the trees a little bit? The fact that you're getting booed by the home crowd because you have, what, 34 yards of offense?
33 yards in the entire first half.
Right.
And that's a big red flag.
No, I get it, but yeah. What about the grit and the way you were actually able to find a way to win this game? Like, in some ways, I'm kind of surprised. Like, I'm never the one who gives any credit to Nick Sirianni because I think he's just kind of like a... like, what do you do around here? But I was actually really impressed yesterday. They picked up the passing game. Jalen Hurts started using his legs.
Yeah.
I mean, A.J. Brown finishes this game with 6 catches for 109 yards, and Devontae Smith had 60 yards. And some of those were the yardage tough doesn't yard. Really matter. It was like the timing of it. Yep. Smith had a great game yesterday. I would be focused, if I were you, on the fact that you had a strong opponent who had you on the ropes. And like your favorite fictional boxer, Rocky, you guys came out swinging from the corner.
I think you and I view close wins differently. Like, for example, I saw major flaws with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, I'm reading that game as a massive red flag for the Bucs, not a grit game. Like, and I think Vegas is with me. I think they're going to look at that Eagles game and look at that Bucs game and say, whoa, these teams are not as good as their record. And here's the big number. Saquon Barkley, 5.8 yards per carry last year, 3.3 this year. So the Eagles' superpower is fading. He's not great right now. No. It's not him. It's everything. Then Lane Johnson went out, which, of course, you know how I feel about him.
Yeah,
the
Lane
greatest
Johnson,
lineman of all time.
Lane Johnson being out. Take out week one because that Dallas Eagles game was weird and the weather delay and all that. But the last 2 weeks, you've faced really good defenses. Kansas City on the road and then the Rams. Like, okay, so Saquon
In
Barkley.
Philly.
So yeah. Saquon Barkley can't average 5 yards a carry. To be honest, Saquon didn't really play. He wasn't the reason why you won the Super Bowl. Like, he was not able to get a lot going against the Chiefs in that game.
Yeah.
You just had everything else going for you. And the Rams defense is definitely Super Bowl caliber.
Well, I mean, listen, the Eagles have nothing but tough defenses ahead. They have Tampa Bay. They're actually have been good so far this season. Denver, the Giants last night, that pass rush that got to Mahomes, that'll get to the Eagles.
Oh, get out and of here. Brian, I can't if you're going to do the Giants.
The Giants
like,
defense
now
is,
I know you're just doing that thing. This is like when I thought the Bills were going to lose to the Dolphins.
Then at Minnesota. So Flores, like, this is not easy for the Eagles. Then they have Green Bay, too, in week 10. Like, they basically, I think they have most of the top five defenses are coming up on their schedule. So it's not going to be easy. Like, what was so special about last year was Saquon. And now... I told you, you can't give the guy 5,000 carries and expect him to do the same thing next year. It never works out that way, and you know it.
Let's go to Ramon, who's in Indianapolis, wants to talk about one of the big stories in the NFL, the shocking 3-0 start by the Indianapolis Colts. What's up, Ramon?
Hey, my favorite people, Perloff. Man, you are so hard on the champs. The champs take the best hit from everybody every week. Maggie is completely correct. The ability to come back and win that game and keep L.A. from scoring the last 29 minutes. They didn't score for 29 minutes, and they won that game. When you come back and win, that says a lot about you, especially being down. I got to give them credit for that. I see a lot more than what a person who's always a
front runner. Ramon, no, it says even more about you when you're killing the other team. That says a lot to me, not when you have to have a miracle comeback.
Well, you're
going to
do that plenty of times. Don't worry.
No, we're not. No, we're definitely not.
Your buddy Nick Wright them said they wanted to see this kind of game. And now I can't wait. I'm going to tape because I'll be gone. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. He said he wanted to see them have to come back and win a game.
What?
And Jalen has to throw. And
what?
That's what
does that
happened.
Have to do with like the formula to win a Super Bowl? Super Bowl teams dominate, and the Eagles are
no,
not
No, you get
dominating.
Behind. No, you get behind. You get behind.
No,
you're going to get behind.
No.
Kansas City got behind a lot in those runs. They got behind.
Not
they
really.
Behind.
They were killing people until recently.
The last 2 years, they got behind. They got behind. Look it up when you get a minute. The Colts. Fantastic. I love Mr. Irsay, and I hope he's doing well flying around the universe. I think his daughters have brought a different energy in the building. Women do that. Maggie, thank you. Mm-hmm. Women do that. They bring
Preach.
A different energy. You can see it from them. They have a different, like, it's like I watched yesterday. You can just see something there. The Giant, Dayball must be terrible. Dayball must, you can see that with that game last night, that he's terrible. But Dayball must really be terrible for this man to make this complete 180 right now.
Yeah, Daniel Jones. Yeah.
Yes, Dayball must be terrible. He has to be terrible. Me and my buddy was saying that last night. He has to be terrible. He has to be terrible. And we could see that game last night. He's terrible. Okay, period. This is a great thing. Dabo, I know you guys want to get to it. So happy Clemson is just, Dabo don't want to change. And then he's threatening that, you fire me. I heard that on your show last week when he's threatening that, yes, go ahead, I'll get another job. Not like this, buddy. I'm so glad for that. Not like this. Go coach.
Yeah,
go coach.
Ramon, thank you. Covered a lot of ground there, but we love it. Just to back up what he's saying about Brian Daboll. So if you didn't stay up for that one last night, Chiefs beat Manny's Giants 22-9. It was not the same looking performance from Russell Wilson. Funny how different it is when you're facing the Chiefs defense and not the Cowboys. But this is from Sheil Kapadia. Pro has been a guest on this show before. Brian Daboll now ranks 186th out of 204 NFL head coaches, minimum 50 games coached, in career winning percentage. The Giants brought back 10 of 11 starters on offense. Same head coach, same GM from last year's 3-14 team. They've now lost 17 of their last 20 games. And it doesn't make sense either. That's the other part.
Yeah.
It's like, if you could see a vision, but until Dart gets in there, Jackson Dart, that is, the rookie from Ole Miss, I don't think you're going to be able to see anything. And Daboll looks lost.
One note, by the way, on the Eagles. They're 27th in total offense right now in the league, and that's definitely not a number that wins you the Super Bowl. Well, so, I mean, the funny thing is, like, they decide, like, oh, we're allowed to pass the ball. Like, why didn't they know that before? And will teams adjust and come after their passing game? Honestly, I think if you dig into the numbers, this is definitely something to worry about here for the Eagles.
The Colts, what Ramon also brought up, does it feel like there's a different vibe in the building? I mean, we wouldn't know, we're not there, but this to me seems like a couple things in a row. You know, Daniel Jones obviously is just much better running this offense than Anthony Richardson, who couldn't hit the ocean from the beach, bro.
Yeah, like, I mean, Anthony Richardson would probably be 3-0 against the schedule, too, by the way, just to be clear. Like,
well, that's the other part.
Anthony Richardson, as bad as he was, always found a way to win games. Yeah, what do we know yet?
So, okay, that's the other thing. Miami, who no-showed week one. Denver might not be who we thought they were. And then Tennessee, I mean, as much as we love Cam Ward on this show, that was a brutal way to start the game, you know, with a pick six. And the head coach doesn't know what he's doing.
No.
Did you see that sequence where the Colts called a timeout? Yeah. It's a 4th-and-1 situation, right? And they're deciding whether or not they want to go for it or kick the field goal. The Colts called the timeout. Brian Callahan of the Titans still doesn't know what he wants to do. He calls a timeout. So now it's back-to-back timeouts. They still don't know what they want to do. They eventually decide to put the field goal unit out there. They get a delay of game penalty because they didn't have the guys out on the field fast enough.
Yeah, and then they miss the field goal but the funny thing is they would have missed that from the field goal when I almost hit somebody in the crowd. It was so far to the left. But yeah, I saw that same sequence. I'm like, oh, well, he's gone. Like, you got to be able to get your situation better here. There's really no upside for the Titans this year, right? You're still happy about Cam Ward, but who are you going to beat? I was kind of wondering that.
Well, yesterday was a long day for him, but as far as actually evaluating the Colts, they go to the Rams next week. Yeah. That will be a real test for Daniel Jones, a really good defense. I thought Tennessee's defense, like, they're hard hitters, but it's so discombobulated over there.
Oh, I thought Cam Ward looked good yesterday, by the way. We disagree on that. Like, that dude still made some throws. Like, he's legit. He kind of reminds me, he's like a very light version of Patrick Mahomes at his peak. He's going to be fine.
So the bigger thing is, when does Daniel Jones turn back into a pumpkin? Maybe it's never, but let's see against the Rams before we make any big conclusions is what I would say.
Is it possible? Like, he doesn't have to be a pumpkin necessarily, but he's not going to be the guy that he is now, that he kind of finds his level around, you know, that he's just okay. Like, that's good enough to get you through this division. Because they had Gardner Minshew and basically were playing week 17 to get into the playoffs. Like, I think this team is going to be fine. Is there any doubt they're the heavy favorites in this division now?
Yeah, especially because the Jags, like, I know they won yesterday, but it's not... That to me is not so impressive. The Houston side of things, I think we all have some real questions about what's going on with that offense.
Yeah, absolutely.
What in the world happened to C.J. Stroud?
He got run. You know, two things happened. One, he doesn't know where to throw the ball. Two, he's under pressure in 1 second. His offensive line is awful. Three, by the way, I thought it would all get better when they fired Bobby Slowick, and it sure hasn't. And their run game is as bad as their pass game, too.
Yeah. Meanwhile, on the other side, you know, we should mention we're talking about the Colts, and Daniel Jones is getting all the praise, and rightfully so. He's playing really well. But Jonathan Stewart being healthy and being a factor here is –
Jonathan Taylor, excuse me.
You cannot understate his three touchdowns yesterday were huge, huge.
And by the way, Shane Steichen is a good coach. Can we all say that right now? Oh, come on.
If he wasn't a former Eagle,
you'd be all in on this guy.
Give Daniel Jones a running back and bad teams, and he becomes John Elway.
It's true. That's the thing you're asking, like, is Jones going to find his middle ground? Like, I don't actually know if that's real. I think Daniel Jones is one of those either it looks awesome or it looks terrible, and I don't know what the middle looks like.
You know, Shane Steichen is good. He needs his quarterback to escape out to the right. Like, that's his play. And Daniel Jones kind of like... You know how Kyle Shanahan and Gary Kubiak are their kind of quarterbacks? Like, Daniel Jones is a Shane Steichen quarterback. He likes a guy who will move around the pocket and run his offense. And I think this is a good marriage. Are they going to go, where they're 3-0 now? Are they going to go 14-3? No. But I think this is going to be good.
You see that, Dable? Developing a quarterback. Take some notes.
Well...
You know, I go back to this.
They won with Daniel Jones when they played bad teams.
They got to the playoffs.
Yeah, they got a lot of luck that year and a bad schedule, but they did win a playoff game in Minnesota, so that's
whoop-de-doo.
Big.
Whoop-de-doo.
But there was a moment, you know, that offseason Hard Knocks that got a lot of attention because the general manager, basically you saw them passing on Saquon Barkley in real time, and it was like, oh my gosh, you know, this is not going to go well. There's also a moment from that Hard Knocks where Brian Daboll's swimming in a pool. Do you guys remember that?
And he's got the cigar. Yeah.
And he looked like the king of the world.
I didn't have HBO Max then. I'm sorry.
I'm on top.
Now his hair dye is fading. Oh, tough God. Times.
It's just like, this is why.
But by the way, Daboll might be a fine offensive coordinator. That building's a mess, obviously.
It can't
just be him.
That's another thing.
The personnel, like, again, they have an amazing defensive line, so they use the number 3 overall pick on another amazing defensive lineman. Hello.
Oh, you should see the draft picks that Joe Shane has had. Besides Malik Nabers and Kayvon Thibodeau and Abdul Carter, which were basically handed to you, what have you done?
Scataboo.
Yeah, dude's going to break his neck in 3 weeks.
He's a human battering ram.
The backflip
was impressive.
It was awesome. I like the way he runs.
That might be good.
Sometimes I like the way he runs, but sometimes I look at him and I cringe, and I'm like, brother, you're going to break your neck in 2 years.
But I think, by the way, that it's all – that's interesting. I don't think it's all on Daboll. I think it's front office.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
The Giants organization is a total mess.
They're terrible. 888-710.
Thank you, John Mara.
For ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay. Again, we're going to try to get to everybody, but you got to call us if you want to talk about your team. We want to hear from you. The Browns yesterday pulled off a massive upset over the Green Bay Packers. Wow. And who should you be pointing the finger at on the Green Bay side? We'll tell you next, M&P.
Whelan kneels at the 33. This is a 43-yard field goal try to give Green Bay the lead. It is blocked! Ball's down to the ground, and Greg Newsom falls on it!
Wow, what a game. Green Bay loses to Cleveland. Now, we knew
Cleveland Radio.
We knew coming into this game, Maggie, that this was going to be a low-scoring game. 41.5 was the total. Cleveland's defense, for all their flaws, week one, they tortured Joe Burrow, absolutely tortured him. Week two, they made Derrick Henry look like me in the backfield. So we knew they were awesome. But we assumed Green Bay's defense being more awesome would save the day. Yeah, I just think that I think Cleveland's defense is legit. That's my takeaway. I'm not panicking about Green Bay. I think Green Bay plays Dallas next week, and they'll probably jump to 3-1, and they'll be right back in the mix. I am not panicking at all that Jordan Love looked beyond mortal in this game because he was under a lot of pressure.
Okay, you're right. Jordan Love was under a lot of pressure, but there were some plays to be made, and he could not get the ball to his receivers. The run game was basically non-existent. But can I bring something up that I don't see a lot of people talking about? And I don't even know if Matt LaFleur was asked about this after the game. Early on, I'm talking the first offensive drive for the Packers, Jordan Love at one point gets crushed. He took 5 sacks yesterday. Yep. I mean, he was on the ground a lot. and his head doesn't hit the ground, but he comes up and he's kind of shaking his head. It wasn't classic hit the back of your head and now all of a sudden you're in a, you know, you're grabbing your helmet. But I don't know if anyone else saw this, and it kind of feel like maybe he got like dinged somehow.
Yeah, could be.
Then he started and he was not playing well. I'm not trying to use that as an excuse, but he never went in the medical tent, but I feel like I saw him shaking his head out like a guy does once he gets his bell rung.
I mean, in reality, it was not an easy spot for him. He was 18 for 25, 183, one touchdown, one ill-timed pick. But the run game, this Cleveland defense against a run is crazy. Josh Jacobs, one of the best running backs in the NFL, 16 carries for 30 yards. Like, that's Ashton Jeanty level. That's terrible. I think this is a tough game. I also, here's the thing, and you could blame Matt LaFleur. I think they thought, okay, we're going to sit on this lead. Like, they definitely got less aggressive. They're like, okay, we're up 10-0. We got this game. And they lost their aggressiveness. I mean, your explanation why that happened could be a good one. Maybe Love was not feeling 100% himself.
Okay, but here's the thing. If you are going to do that and you're going to sit on a lead and it was 10-0, then you cannot be committing 14 penalties in this game. Yeah. That is inexcusable. The offensive line was horrible in this game, but maybe say, all right, you're going up against a good Cleveland defense. They were bad, very bad. And, you know, Matt LaFleur was all about pointing the blame at the offensive line. I think it was maybe because they were bad, but also to shield Love a little bit. I mean, this is one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. I don't know why we wouldn't criticize Jordan Love for the fact that, you know, if you really are a Super Bowl team and you're up 10-0 in the fourth quarter in the last 4 minutes, like, you put that other team away with a good offensive drive.
I think he kind of thought they had.
they
got a field goal
narrator
block.
They did not. And so it took like an all-time play, obviously, with Shelby Harris blocking the field goal, and then Greg Newsom falls on it, and then they drive down the field. And you feel good for Andre Schmidt because, gosh, I feel bad. After week one, we were clowning the kid. He missed all those kicks. We're like, you got to cut him. Obviously didn't realize that his mother had passed away from a brain aneurysm. So oops, our bad. And now he's got this amazing, incredible story where he nails a 54-yarder for the Cleveland Browns to win their first game of the season.
More defense, Love. So there's two. I think there were two backups in on low line. He was pressured on 13 of 31 dropbacks. That's 42%, the highest in his career by a long stretch, according to ESPN. And on those plays, he was terrible. So maybe that's on him, but it's a complicated issue because I think Cleveland's defense did it to Burrow too in week one. I think this might be a function of Cleveland just having a really good defense. So we'll see if this is Dallas seems to be the Sam Houston state of the NFL. Maybe Jordan Love gets it back here. I don't think the defense on Green Bay, which is their strength, obviously, they have the number one defense coming in on yards per play. Cleveland was number two. I still think Green Bay's strength is defense. I think we could all agree. Like, Jordan Love has to be a bit of a caretaker on this team and let that defense with all those first-round picks and Micah Parsons just do damage. And let's face it, Cleveland's offense with Joe Flacco is awful.
It's terrible. But let's not let Love off the hook here on this.
You're not
a $250 million caretaker.
But you have two backup linemen and you're getting destroyed all game long. I'm not sure. It might be a lot of money, but he's definitely, like, you do not want Jordan Love throwing the ball 50 times a game. You have probably the best defense in the league.
888-710-4ISN. Very curious to hear from the Packer faithful on this one. How are you feeling? Because I think they're still waiting for Jordan Love to be the difference. Like, when's he going to put us over the top when things aren't going perfectly? And yesterday they were in a rock fight.
Yeah, I mean, they kicked that field goal, then that's not the narrative at all.
Yeah, right. Well, I think it still didn't look great.
It looked tough.
He finished with less than 200 yards of offense.
I mean, honestly, did you see what Cleveland did to Joe Burrow in week one? Did you see what they did to Derrick Henry last week? There's something magical going on. It's going to really result in a 5-12 record and some good feelings.
Also, Quinshon Judkins had a really good game as well for Cleveland. Yeah. Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who's got the latest headlines. Bogues, it was a wild one yesterday.
It was. All the headlines sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting small businesses with affordable coverage options. Get a quote today at progressivecommercial.com. Those Indianapolis Colts punted for the very first time this season yesterday afternoon in Nashville. I remind you, it was game number three, but their offense really didn't slow down at all.
They give it to Taylor right up the gut, big hole, 40, cuts back to his right, spinning upfield, still going, slips out of a tackle, he's at the 20, he's at the 10, he's at the 5, touchdown!
That's Matt Taylor, Colts Radio. Jonathan Taylor, 102 yards, 3 scores on the ground, while Daniel Jones threw for 225 and a TD and a 41-20 rout of the Titans. Wideout Michael Pittman on their early success on offense.
We have so many hungry dogs that are starving to eat that like somebody's going to make a crazy play.
Pittman also said, and there doesn't appear to be video of this, that they knew from before the opening kickoff that the Titans didn't want to play by their lack of energy during warmups. The Colts,
oh boy,
yeah, continue their best start since 09. Danny Dimes already has as many wins as he had over his last 16 starts as a Giant. Big Blue took another step towards Jackson Dart on Sunday Night Football. Russell Wilson did not come close to matching that huge game in Dallas. Just 18 for 32, 160 yards, 2 picks, just 9 points.
You know, we just needed one or two more plays. You know, obviously, you know, I want to play better, you know, for us and give us a better chance to win.
Yeah, that'd be great. The Giants letting the Chiefs win their first game of the season, 22-9, one touchdown pass for Patrick Mahomes. And one sideline bump from Andy Reid to Travis Kelce as they argued about something.
That's okay. We need some juice, so that's good.
Oh, the Pipilotti method. That's how Reid explained it to NBC's Melissa Stark at halftime.
How bad does Brian Daboll look for not being for Daniel Jones' success and him unable to do anything with a Super Bowl winning quarterback? It can't be a good look from the outside.
Well, I don't know about the Russell stuff. I think everyone was pretty out on Russ.
And on Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I think that their 0-3 is a bigger problem than Daniel Jones.
Yeah, right? People cannot like Daboll just for all the stuff that Daboll has done. Why don't they have a kicker? Like, why is it always, why are we still talking about this?
Graham Gano, Rami tweeted this, and it was a good one. Graham Gano has been dealing with the same groin injury for 3 years, and he's still the kicker of the Giants.
Isn't he still the best player on that team, though?
No. Well, no, Scadaboo is. Yeah, we got Scadaboo.
But Gano, I remember, actually, in this building, someone said, the one thing we have is Graham Gano.
Yeah, 2 years ago, or a year ago, yes, that statement was factual. Yes,
they said on the broadcast last night, he's 38.
Yeah, that dude is older than dirt.
Just get a new kicker.
That's what I'm saying. It might be time to hang it up, but if Daboll's whole argument was, I'm not good because the quarterback is not good, and then that quarterback is now winning games in under a new system, he looks terrible right now.
Wait, did Daboll say that?
That was the talking point last season. I don't have my quarterback.
Well, now they have Jackson Dart sitting there on the sideline. Get him in.
And he's not playing, bro. basketball soon.
The Giants are hustling backwards, per usual.
Love it.
Pearl's just finding out how bad they are.
I do remember.
He just said they have a good defense. He's worried about them.
I have very positive images of Graham Gano as an NFL player. I'm surprised he's the problem.
Yeah, you have positive images from 2015.
All
that
those
was
black
10
and
years
white
ago.
Images at this point.
Yeah, dude, he was fire in 2022.
And I don't mind him getting hurt, but he gets hurt.
It was good last year,
warming up for the game where they don't have an option to replace him.
They put the punter out there.
Here's the issue with the punter, though. So the punter is the holder, obviously, and the punter is left-footed. Yeah. So the backup holder who has been practicing with Graham Gano, now you got a left, who's a righty kicker, now you got a lefty kicker. So the operation is completely mirrored, and he doesn't know what he's doing. Special teams, guys. Yeah. I am telling you. No,
a nice kicker gets hurt on Wednesday, so you can sign somebody and bring him in. Yeah. Graham Gano is the second time, maybe the third time he's gotten hurt warming up. And there's
because
nothing they can do.
Old. So it was a special teams is the story of the season so far, or one of the stories?
I was laughed at in August.
You were, but it's a combination. There's two things that are going on why special teams feels like it's front and center in every single game this year. One, the new kickoff rule. It's like every drive starts at the 35.
Yeah, I foresaw that.
And now kickers are hitting from 60 plus. Like Brandon Aubrey.
And
they're also
against the Giants.
Oh my gosh, yesterday with the Falcons. I'm like, geez.
It cut a young way coup for that.
I wonder, is there a connection that now everybody can hit like almost a 70 yarder, but they feels like the shorties are harder. Like there's no guaranteed at the end of the game. Like, Manny, stop laughing. So,
I don't know. I feel
it doesn't
like
it makes sense as a joke.
It just, you're in
here.
Unless
it's some sort of weird area that I don't understand. Ray's cracking up.
Okay. There's something where if you start at the 35, it's like you basically need a first down and all of a sudden you're in range.
Yeah, but then again, week one, nobody could score any points at all. So it's weird. I don't know what's happening out there. It's chaos. Cats and dogs living together. I thought the story of the year was that they're not calling offsides on the tush push, and that disappeared. Like, that's
I mean, they're still
I watch
offside.
All the pregame shows, and basically 80% of it was they can't officiate the tush push, and then everyone forgot about that.
No, they were very very diligent in calling false starts, just not against the Eagles.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but yeah, that was like a huge narrative that nobody even cared about after that game.
How many did you run yesterday? I feel like I didn't.
At least one where everybody was offside.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Well,
the entire team was offside and they didn't call it.
They went 4 for 5 on fourth down. I did see that yesterday. Okay. So, I mean,
but they did some other
information.
They did some non-tush pushes too.
That's nice of them.
And by the way, sorry, one last thing on the tush push. Like, a quarterback sneak is almost as effective. You said that all along, Meg.
Yeah, that's not new.
Yeah, so
this is
that.
Why
yeah,
like, get rid of this dumb play so we can all move on with our lives.
Tom Brady never, ever, ever got stopped on a quarterback sneak. And all of a sudden, there was nothing else to talk about. Special teams, I'm sorry, it's not going to move the needle. No one really
I don't
cares.
Know. Yesterday was pretty nuts. All those blocked field goals, running back for touchdowns.
Needle.
I mean, it's the reason why you won the game. not the tush push yesterday. Yesterday was Jordan Davis.
My needle was at F for full.
People care about quarterbacks and wide receivers.
No, you got to do it for the brand.
Trust me on this one.
I'm keeping it alive for Pat McAfee in his honor.
Can I introduce you to the wonderful world that my wife lives in? We were watching football yesterday, me, her, and Jake, and she heard tush push, and she went, what is that? It had never crossed her path
never
before.
Crossed her lexicon?
How Wait, is that?
So you know what that means. That means she is clearly not listening to you or the show.
Oh, I mean, I already could have told you that. She's never listened or watched anything.
My wife,
I like it. I go
my
home
wife
and,
doesn't even know who's on the show, except for you, because it's in the name of the show. My wife has never spent 1 second listening to anything I've done ever.
Really?
Yeah. It's glorious, because I go home and
you have to explain yourself?
Everything is over. I leave everything here. There's no, what did that mean? Or, I'm not in trouble for anything stupid. I said nothing.
What did you tell your wife when you introduced me to her at the soccer game? That I'm like your parking valet or something?
No, I said you're on the show. She'd never heard
Not familiar
you.
With my work.
No, she doesn't.
Disappointing.
No, my wife doesn't know anything about sports. She doesn't know anything about our show.
And she has a real job, too, so she's busy.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, how about this? Manny, come on over to my house where my kid knows who you are. We're on your Instagram looking at all who you are. He wants to know your middle name. Very interested in you.
I have a lot of questions about this.
My parents said my name was too long, ergo no middle name.
Wait, Maggie, does your husband listen to the show?
Yeah, when he's driving to work.
He was very nice to me the time I met him.
He goes into the office now only twice a week. So, but when he's on his way, when he's in the car, they got the show on.
We don't drive to work.
Yeah. Do we need to explore you scanning Manny's Instagram with your son?
My son wanted to see what does Manny look like, so I went on his Instagram.
What do you say about the mustache?
He wants you to shave it.
But what was happening that led him to go, what does Manny look like?
They were listening to the show. He was listening to the show with my husband.
And he heard the sweet baritone voice.
He was like, tell me more about Manny. Yeah.
Yeah. When you said, hey, you should come over to my house, I was like, all right, you pay me $150. I'll go ahead and babysit what's his face.
Yeah, exactly. Keep him alive. That's all we ask.
What's his face?
Show him special teams highlights on YouTube.
Oh, God. We'll have the best 2 hours of our lives.
We have to go to break, but can I tell you the one time I came home, my kid was there with one of the babysitters who also happened to work for the school. And they were watching on YouTube me eating the entire jar of jelly. And now the teacher's like, I didn't know if you were going to make it. Like, thank you. Please tell everyone at the school I'm okay. Folks, thanks. 888-710-4ISN. Coming up next, could this team be the best in the AFC? No chargering yesterday, M&P.
Snap good. Hold good. Kick is good. Cam Dicker. The kicker secures victory as the Chargers start the season 3-0, knocking off each of their AFC West division foes in the process.
Thank you to Chargers Radio. It cannot be going better for the Chargers. No chargering yesterday, Pearl. Instead, a come-from-behind win over the Broncos. You heard it there on the broadcast. They've now beat every team in their division, which is just a massive leg up for them. And I actually came away with this game a little more concerned for the Broncos than I am totally sold on the Chargers. But the Chargers' defense looks amazing, even though they lost Khalil Mack, who didn't play in this game. And if their defense keeps playing like this, then you don't need Justin Herbert to be the ultra superstar, even though he's got an amazing ability to get the ball to his playmakers in these first three games.
Yeah, I mean, they have a chance to have a tremendous regular season record. But I do think it's one of those franchises we're going to have to see it in the playoffs, right? Because even these So you're a little concerned about Denver. Like, this game was nip and tuck.
Yep.
And Herbert made some incredible throws. The Chiefs game was really close week one. And they actually let the Raiders hang around in week two. Even though that game wasn't, it was 20-9, wasn't even really close. The Raiders didn't do anything. They're going to beat the Giants this week. And then they have Miami in a couple weeks. So they're going to collect a lot of wins. But really, when the test comes for this franchise is the playoffs. Like, there's no reason Justin Herbert shouldn't have destroyed Jacksonville a couple of years ago, let up one of the biggest playoff comebacks of all time. So it's hard for me to get behind this team and really, really believe in them until I actually see it when it really matters. And maybe Harbaugh is different, though, because Harbaugh has had success in the playoffs. So that's the question. Are they going to charge, or what's stronger, the helmet or the coach?
Well, and last year when Harbaugh was on the sideline, Justin Herbert threw five picks in a playoff game. I mean, they were still had to get some of that chargering out of their system.
Jim Harbaugh,
year two is when the real magic happens. But when I say I'm a little concerned, also, they lost Najee Harris in this game, and that looked pretty bad. That was just one of the big injuries that happened yesterday.
Yeah, that's a thing.
There was a lot of guys. Yeah. Unfortunately, the cart had to come out a lot yesterday. Not awesome. You know, Courtland Sutton, okay, we understand Courtland Sutton, Pearl, is a weapon. Six catches yesterday, 118 yards for Denver.
Yep.
But they could not get tons and tons going with the run game. J.K. Yep. Dobbins, 11 carries, 83 yards, did get a touchdown, but he had 83 yards. 41 of them came on one play. So they really weren't moving the ball as far as the ground game. And Bo Nix was 14 for 25 for 153 yards. This Charger defense is not a joke. But I feel like all 3 weeks of Bo Nix has not been what I expected to start the season with Sean Payton in year two.
I thought he might be Drew Brees-like. You know, like he's had some time in the system now. And you're right, it's the whole offense is a little slow for some reason. But, yeah, he's been a huge disappointment so far. I thought he was going to have 300 yards a game, and it's been nowhere near that.
Let's go to our pal Jay, who's in Nashville. Good morning, Jay.
I know I'm not crazy, but I think I heard Perloff earlier. I didn't know Perloff had bars. What did he say? Everybody's hitting the 70-yarder, but Mack is shouting harder? Is that what you said?
Let's not even revisit that. It doesn't work as a line. Let's just put it that way.
Hey, let me know. I used to make beats. I already got your rap name. We call you Skinny P the Plug. You know, I got some hot takes, baby. Got some hot takes, cuz. But I really called in. First of all, these Titans we got down here, I'm not going to lie, I drive by that stadium, and it's been 2 weeks in a row. Like, stadium, there's a lot of empty seats. I ain't going to lie. And then also, it's a lot of 0-3 teams out there, and, like, me and my roommate was talking, like, you know, like, you think anybody's tanking, but it's like, what are they tanking for? Because the whole, like, Arch Manning thing is off the table. And he'd be crazy to come out of college like this year. He needs another year.
That's
clearly
a big question. Yeah, Jay, is there anybody worth tanking for? I mean, the Titans already have their core. Hey, do you drive by the new stadium? What's that look like, Jay?
Yeah, they're right next door to each other. Like, basically, I could be on the nosebleeder at the old stadium and spit across to the new stadium. I wish I could take some pictures and send them to y'all, which I'm probably going to do anyways. But they coming along with that. The new stadium is way bigger than the old stadium, but the new stadium has less seats. It's only 60,000 seats. Hmm. But I think what it is, they're putting a whole lot of Jerry's World type stuff in there, and that's why there's less seats in there. But it's going to be good. It looks like a behemoth downtown right now. It's like they're making a Death Star in the middle of, you know, across the river.
All about the
Jay,
Super Bowl.
I'm sorry. We've got to take a break. We're up against it here with the hard out at the top of the hour. But, you know, Jay saying there are a lot of, you know, pretty bad teams right now. So if you're the Miami Dolphins, if you're the Jets, you know, the Giants already have their guy. Who are you tanking? You know, Titans already have their guy. But who are you really tanking for? New Orleans Saints clearly need a quarterback. Like, who is it? John Mateer? Who is it?
No. We don't know yet.
Maggie Perloff Show.